Yeah, so for those of y'all that don't know me, my name is Will Allen. I am from Cordova, Alabama. I moved here about 3 years ago when I attended Highlands College. But if y'all want to put the first picture on screen, y'all can. So this is my family. My mom is shaking her head right now because she hates the picture I chose. But it's the only picture I had on my phone of our family. But my brother is on the left with his wife, Kyle and Erica, and then my mom and dad are on the right, Lisa and Kenny. So I figured I wanted to just introduce myself and who I am, and what better way than the family that raised me. But I am my family. That is my family, as I am not married. I actually had somebody in college. After 1 year of college, we had been in the same classes, everything. We'd talked to each other many, many times. And we had a chapel one day. He walks in, sits directly next to me, says, "Will, what's it like being married in college?" I said, "I am not wearing a ring on my finger. I'm not married." And then he started talking to himself. "No way, I thought you were. Wow, I can't believe you're not married. I believed a lie this whole time." And I was, "Do I look like I'm married?" And anyway, so it was a funny, interesting conversation. But I'm not married. That is my amazing family. We grew up in Cordova, Alabama, near Jasper in Walker County my whole life. I went to school there for all of my 18 years. And then after I graduated from high school there, I went to Highlands College, which is a college associated with Church of the Highlands. It's a ministry school. It's for 2 years. And so I moved to Birmingham, lived near 119 for about 2 years. And y'all can pull up the next slide. And so this is where I met my group of friends. So like I said, if y'all want to get to know me, like, it is the people that have influenced me most in my life. So Luke at the front giving a thumbs up, Ty in the red giving two thumbs up, and then Wes is on the right. So and I promise I'm taller than Wes. I always make fun of this, but he's standing on a rock, so that's why he's taller in this picture. But truly, I am so extremely thankful for my family, my friends. I wanted to show y'all who I am, so I showed y'all these two group of these, and I do have another roommate. We don't have a picture with him, but he's out of town this Sunday, or he would be here as well. But truly thankful for my friends is how many group of college age guys would come Sunday morning to hear one of their roommates speak. You know, it's truly, truly more gracious. I mean, I can't thank them enough for being here. So, and then lastly, I do want to thank the staff and all of the people here at the church that have helped me integrate so easily. Pastor Mark, Pastor Randall, Laura, everybody here that has talked to me. I mean, every single person has said, "If you ever need anything, just let me know." And I don't have enough stuff to give everyone, so most people are just like, "Oh, well, Will doesn't need any help. He's doing great." No, I just have so many people helping me. But truly, I am so thankful for this church. I've never felt so welcome so quick in my life. So thank you all so much for welcoming me with open arms. So in preparation for tonight, as I was thinking about what I would be speaking on, Pastor Mark gave me a few weeks to prepare. I was praying, and you know, when I was thinking about us doing the worship session tonight, God kind of spoke to me and said, like, speak on worship and talk about worshiping God and how important that is. So I do want all of us to take a minute to self-reflect here and ask ourselves some questions about what we think about worship. Where do we stand with worship? Do you enjoy coming in on Sunday morning for worship, or is it the precursor to the message, which is the powerful part? You know, is worship what you do every time you go home and want to spend time with God, or is it just a little extra something that is on the radio every now and then? So ask yourself those questions, because for me, for the first 18 years of my life when I was attending church, I was raised at a Baptist church, and so it was always we stood at a at attention basically and just sang a song. And it was like the prerequisite to the powerful message that was coming. God was going to speak during the message, and worship was a secondary thought. You know, it was the afterthought, and okay, well, we'll sing, I guess. And, you know, all the men are like, okay, you don't want to hear me sing. And so every part of it was seen as worship was the lesser part of worship. But as I have grown more, and as I have experienced hardship and grown in my relationship with Jesus and been under people who value worship, it has become a pillar of my relationship with God in my life. And I definitely am not saying that I am perfect. I don't wake up every morning and sing 30 minutes of worship. And, you know, every time a bad situation comes around, I don't immediately go to worship. My friends can attest to that. But I don't do that. But when I do it, I mean, the bad situation becomes something that it seems as if it doesn't even matter. And then when I am waking up in the morning and worshiping, my day is so much better as I am focusing on God. If you don't view worship and you don't have the same idea towards worship, then I say just give me 15 minutes, 20 minutes to explain why God and Scripture, not myself, values worship so much in our lives and how it truly is an essential part of our spiritual life. So we will be in Psalm 100 today. So if y'all want to turn to Psalm 100 in your Bibles, it'd be awesome. Alrighty. All right, and would y'all stand as we read God's Word? Okay. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. All right, y'all can be seated. And I'll pray. God, thank you so much for today. Bless this message. Bless your word. Bless what you teach us, God. Help us learn today. Help us be able to absorb this and grow, God. Help us to value worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. So when I was thinking about, okay, well, how am I going to, how am I going to begin with, how am I going to talk about worship? Do I need to go over it? And we're going to go over the just the top layer, the generality of worship. What does it do? Why is worship important? And how are we supposed to worship? So y'all can pull up the first slide, which I feel like I wrote it in like third grade, like grammar, which basically all it says is, what does worship do? Very general. But I think it's extremely important to go back to the basics sometimes. So y'all can go to the next slide. Worship, first and foremost, most important, and I think we all do know this, it gives our attention and adoration to God, our love to God. And so we're worshiping God, we're singing to him, and this simple thing is what makes it so powerful. God does not need our worship. God does not need our attention. He doesn't need our adoration or our love to him. In Psalm 100, it says, sing to him, let's see, know the Lord, he is God, it is he who made us, we are his, come into it with enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, singing of the things that we have done, that he has done. He doesn't need to know what he's already done. God knows what he's done for us. But the power in it is that, and what God wants from us in worship, is that he wants to be closer to us. And God wants us to come closer to Him by singing about our love towards Him, about what we're feeling towards God, our attention. And when we do that, number 2, 3, and 4, those are simply the side effects of us giving our love and adoration, which is us coming closer to God in our worship. He wants our emotions. He wants to know who we are, why we're feeling this way, and just why we love Him, our worship, our attention, and our adoration. What does worship do? It brings us closer to God. So then number 2, it roots us in truth. Singing what He has done, which is good and true, only cements us within the truth even more. And I think it's so important for us to remember, you know, we memorize Scripture, we do all these things to help us combat sin and live out our lives in a way that God wants us to live. But one of the best ways is simply to worship, as it brings us back to the truth and back in to what is right. So Psalm 1 talks about having roots that are deep and fueled and watered by the Holy Spirit, by God. And I think that worship is one of the key ways that you grow your roots deeper. As you sing of what God has done, it only reminds you, and number 3, gives you more faith. It gives you more faith because you're singing of what He's already done in your life. We declare that He is God with our voices, reminding us that He is God, bringing about more faith. Psalm 100, it says it right here. In verses 1 and 2, it is telling us, you need to sing to God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve Him with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. And then verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It reminds us, worshiping God, which is He tells us to do in 1 and 2, verse 3, it reminds us that we are the sheep of His pasture, that we are cared for as a shepherd care for his sheep. Lions approach and they battle it away. Shepherds guide us to new areas of grass and areas to feed and to get fuel. And the shepherd loves his sheep, takes care of his flock. And when we sing and worship, we are reminded of those things. And verse 4 and 5 is the exact same thing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. It says worship. And then it says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Worship gives us more faith by reminding us, number 4, of who God is. Reminding us of who God is. God is our shepherd. He takes care of us. He loves us. And that is why we give our attention and our adoration. God, we love You. We thank You for all You have done. It has become a pillar in my life simply because of how close you can get to God when you just simply declare how great He is. So, what does worship do? It gets us closer to God. We remember that as we go throughout our lives. So, then y'all can go to the next slide. All right. How should we worship? So, there's two different scriptures that I want to go through here. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is actually King David worshiping in the streets. And it is when the Ark of the Covenant, when God, His presence is entering into the city of David, which is Jerusalem before Jerusalem became Jerusalem. But I'll read verses 14 through 16. So it says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod, which is the gown that priests wore. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a horn. As the ark of the Lord came into the city, David, Michael, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So it goes on, and then in verse 21, It says, and David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as a prince over Israel and the people of the Lord. I will continue, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself more humiliated than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. This is a different version than I had in my Bible. I actually left my Bible at home in preparation for coming to preach today, so pretty good move by me, I would say. But basically, David is saying, I will humiliate myself for the name of the Lord, for my worship for God. David, how should he worship? David is not caring how he is seen. Now, David is a very emotional and direct and open man. As we know, he wrote so many psalms. He is artistic and he is very open about his faith. And in fact, in this scripture, it says he danced half naked in the street for God. So, you know, I don't know if we do that here in church. I think that'd be a little bit much. But it shows how much David was just worshiping God. And I think it does show so much on how truly impactful David saw his worship to God. I was actually in Denver visiting a friend about November of last year. And when I went on Sunday night, they had a church called Upper Room. And it's a very new school church, and he would go, and they have worship, prayer, and a message just like any other church. But while we were in there, we were in this oval room, a very big, large oval room, and all the chairs were set up in a square. We were sitting at the front of that square, right next, you know, where the pastor preaches. And off to the right is just a small area. And as we went into worship, I look over, and there is a girl doing ballet dancing during worship while she is worshiping God. And in that moment, I said, what in the world is that? I was raised in a Baptist church. I was, are we supposed to be doing that? I was so confused. But she was dancing, and so there was a part of me that was a little judgment. I can't focus. Why is she doing that? I couldn't pay attention. But in fact, I read this scripture about David dancing and worshiping before God and how good God saw that. God did not talk down on it. Instead, God put it in his word in a positive manner. David is dancing and worshiping before God, simply sharing his love and adoration in an expressive way. So I'm not saying that we need to be dancing and going crazy, because in fact, Acts 16, verses 24 through 25, says it like, this is Paul and Silas in prison, I will read verses 24 and 25. Having received this order, he put them in an inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas were chained to the floor, and they were singing praises and hymns to God. Now, this scripture talks about it in a very mild manner. It doesn't say that they were doing anything crazy. It doesn't say they were screaming super loudly. In fact, I think they were just singing in a normal tone, a hymn to God, while they were chained to the floor. And God definitely saw that it was good, because in the next moment, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. The doors were opened and their bonds were unfastened. God created a miracle in the next moment while they were just praising and singing a very chill hymn to God. So we see these two different ways that people worship and these two different examples. David running around on stage. I'm not going to leap, but, you know, he's running around on stage going crazy, leaping and praising God. And then you have Paul and Silas simply sitting down, singing a hymn, and worshiping. You can go to the next slide. Neither way is greater than the other, but I believe you should worship God in the manner he deserves, in the manner you think he deserves. God has made us all different in different ways. And for me, I worship very closed off. I usually close my eyes most of the time so that I can focus on God, so that I'm not distracted and I'm focusing on God and I'm giving him my heart. I'm telling him within my heart and through my mouth how much I love him and my feelings towards him. But David does the other way. He runs around. That's how he thinks God is deserves. And the girl in Denver, Colorado, she does the same thing. She is dancing, and she was actually very good at ballet dancing. She probably trained her whole life, but she uses that as a way of worship. And so I think this is a great challenge for us, is think about the way in which we worship God. Are we worshiping in the way that we think God deserves within us and how we should worship? Like I said, it can be any way, but as long as we are worshiping God in the manner that he deserves, it is beautiful and we are connecting with God. So you can go to the next slide. How important is worship? Why is it important? And you can go to the next slide as well. Worshiping God is equally important as the sacrifices that we make for God. We know that actions are extremely important within our worship or within our daily lives. In fact, Scripture says faith without works is dead. And so we know, and I think it's emphasized so heavily among Christian culture, that we have to act, we've got to go do this, do that in order to bless God. We have to do, because God tells us to go act, to go do things, to go feed the homeless, to do all these different things and ways. We know that action is heavily emphasized, but as I studied and as I read, I probably read over 100 different scriptures on worship. There was only two ways that worship was described, and that was in your actions and in living sacrificially for God, and it was with your words and singing to God. So the Bible describes worship in two different ways, but I never found that one was greater than the other. It says worship, and so you can go to the next slide. Luke 4:8 describes this perfectly. Jesus is being tempted by Satan with all the kingdoms of the world. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus replied, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Notice that when the devil says, worship me, Jesus not only mentions worshiping with your mouth, but also with your actions. And I think this just further cements how important worship is. Our actions are extremely important, but on par, on the same level, Jesus said, I will not worship you with my mouth as well. I will not worship because it is powerful, and I will not do that. So there are there's Isaiah 12:5. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. It says, sing, worship with your mouth. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Sing, worship with your mouth. But then actions, Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Y'all can come on up if y'all want to. We're going to do a closing song today. But I want us to be reminded, and I want y'all to understand that worship, it is in actions and with your mouth, and it is equally as important. So I want us to remember, why do we worship? What does worship do? What does worship do? It gets us closer to God. How do we worship? In the manner that you think God deserves. And why is it important? It is just as important as acting out our faith in our day-to-day life. So I hope to see y'all back here tonight. I'll be here at 5:30 to worship God and eat homemade ice cream, you know. a little bit of that for sure. But I hope to see y'all back here tonight as we worship as a church, as we emphasize God's name, we show our love to God, and we build each other up in His name. So I hope to see y'all here tonight, and yeah, we can go ahead and go. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Will.